I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, October 23rd. The ballot for the November 4th election in Quincy will not contain a question dealing with the mayor's annual salary. A Norfolk Superior Court judge this week denied a request from Quincy Citizens for Fair raises to stop the ballot from being certified. In the ruling, the judge said it would not be in the public interest to grant the citizens' request because mail-in voting has already started and early voting will begin on Saturday. The larger question of whether the ballot question will appear in either a special election or the 2027 election is still pending in court. The citizens' group contends that they obtained enough voter signatures to get the question on the ballot. The city rejected over 1,800 signatures, claiming they were illegible. The group says the city should have used the printed names to verify the cursive signatures. City also claims the ballot question is illegal under state law and that the ballot petition was submitted too late. A court hearing on those matters will be held soon. The Massachusetts Department of Elementary and Secondary Education notified nearly 200 school districts, including Quincy, that at least one of their students was affected by an AI grading glitch that resulted in hundreds of essays being scored incorrectly on the MCAS exams. The technology incorrectly graded about 1,400 essays, which were later rescored after the error was detected and the state's testing contractor performed a review. But according to DESE, humans do not put a set of eyes on the majority of student essays. The agency said artificial intelligence essay scoring works by using human-scored exemplars of what essays at each score point look like. The AI tool then uses that information to score the essays. In addition, humans give 10% of the AI-scored essays a second read and compare their scores with the AI scores to make sure there aren't discrepancies. Proponents tout the positives of using AI to return scores back to school districts faster so appropriate action can be taken. For instance, test results can help identify a child in need of intervention or highlight a lesson plan for a teacher that didn't seem to resonate with students. When asked about the issue last month, Education Commissioner Pedro Martinez called it a learning experience and said the state's working with the testing vendor to make sure guardrails are in place to avoid a repeat problem. According to a copy of the communication that DESE sent out, each school district received information about the affected students, their previous essay score, and the updated score. The Woodward School for Girls in Quincy recently raised over $300,000 during their annual Women of Distinction ceremony. The event itself took in over $190,000, unlocking a $100,000 matching grant from the E.E. Ford Foundation of New York, bringing the grand total to over $300,000, which will be used to offer financial aid to students. This year, Woodward honored Marcy Goldberg Bracken of Pink Chair Storytellers magazine, Quincy Veterans Services Director Christine Cugini, and Pamela Everhart of Fidelity Investments. State Senator John Keenan of Quincy presented each of the women with the State House citation. The evening also featured an auction and catering from J.P. Fuji Group of Quincy. The Women of Distinction event began in 2007 to recognize women who serve as role models for students. Woodward was founded in 1869. A regional chain of restaurants and ice cream shops continues to shrink as a location south of Boston has shut down. Friendly's in Pembroke is no longer in business, with the website for the chain confirming it, removing it from their locations page. With the closing of the Church Street outlet in Pembroke, it means only seven now remain inside the 495 corridor, including in Haverhill, Marlborough, Middleborough, Norwood, Peabody, Plymouth, and Weymouth. Friendly's, which is headquartered in Wilbraham, was first established in Springfield 1935. Now, several states are warning that they may soon have to suspend supplemental nutrition assistance program benefits amid the ongoing government shutdown, leaving millions of Americans facing food insecurity. It's unclear exactly how SNAP benefits in Massachusetts may be affected, but Governor Healey said the state cannot fill the void being left open by the Trump administration. The federal government provides about $240 million a month in SNAP benefits to Massachusetts. Maine's Department of Health confirmed it will not receive November's funding, while New Hampshire reports it has enough to maintain SNAP benefits through the first week of November. Healey said her administration is working to determine how a loss of federal funds will impact Massachusetts. Catherine D'Amato, president and CEO of the Greater Boston Food Bank, highlighted the dire situation in Massachusetts, where one in three people is food insecure. She emphasized that if SNAP benefits are halted, the pressure on food pantries will increase significantly. Point 32 Health announced it's laying off 254 employees in its second round of reductions this year. The nonprofit company said in a statement the layoffs are part of an effort to reduce administrative costs as it continues to experience unprecedented increases in medical care and pharmaceutical costs. Point 32 Health also cut 110 jobs in March. The company has about 4,000 employees. The second largest health insurance company in the state, Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare and Tufts Health Plan's parent company, serves nearly 2 million members. The Boston Globe reports Point 32 reported a $96 million operating loss on $4.9 billion in revenue, largely due to high medical and pharmaceutical spending on GLP-1s, oncology drugs, and targeted autoimmune and cardiac treatments. The loss was less than Point 32 Health reported a year ago. The insurer isn't the only one struggling. According to the Globe, the state's largest insurer, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts, announced earlier this month it would offer severance packages to workers 55 and older who've been with the company for at least 10 years. Company says it is not planning any layoffs, but did not rule them out. Prosecutors have dropped one set of charges against blogger and longtime Karen Reed supporter Aiden Turtleboy Kearney. The Norfolk County DA's office entered a filing yesterday on charges of witness intimidation and wiretapping, indicating they would not be pursuing the charges. The filing prompted Norfolk Superior Court to close the case, one of three brought against Kearney. Special Prosecutor Robert Cosgrove withdrew from the case last month, saying he was being sued by Kearney's alleged victim. The move left the case in limbo. The judge gave the district attorney's office 30 days to appoint a prosecutor. The alleged victim in the case, Lindsay Gattani, said that she was incensed when she found out the charges were being dropped and said she's calling for an investigation from the attorney general to investigate what efforts were made to assign a new prosecutor. Kearney has filed to dismiss the two other witness intimidation cases against him. The blogger has spent years advocating that Reed didn't kill her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe. As prosecutors alleged, a jury eventually acquitted her on those charges, convicting her on a lesser drunk driving charge. Police eventually arrested Kearney on charges of intimidation and conspiracy, with prosecutors accusing him of harassing witnesses in the case. He later faced more charges, and a special prosecutor was brought in to handle the Norfolk County DA's office allegations against Kearney. Students at the Southeastern Regional Vocational Technical High School in Easton are earning their stripes, literally. A new basketball officiating pilot program gives students the opportunity to learn the skills and confidence they'll need to call plays. After completing the program, students can start making money refereeing youth basketball games. 18-year NBA referee veteran Gary Zielinski helped guide the students in the program. Zielinski says there's a referee shortage. He hopes the program will inspire students to pursue that career. There hasn't been progress lately toward landing a Boston-based women's pro basketball team, but the inaugural 2026 season in the Women's Pro Baseball League will feature a Boston squad. The league announced this week that its first four teams will be based in New York, Boston, Los Angeles, and San Francisco due to their fan support, market size, media presence, and rich baseball histories. The league's summer tryouts at Nationals Park in Washington, D.C. drew more than 600 players. A prospect list has been posted. The top 100 players from tryouts will advance to a draft scheduled for November. While Boston and other cities hunt for ways to join the WNBA, the governor noted that Boston Fleet women's pro hockey team is playing games, and the Boston Legacy women's pro soccer team plans to launch in 2026. Governor didn't have any insights on where Boston's new baseball team will play its games. The league said its first season will be played in one or two neutral locations. Well, tonight is the last night of Cops in the Park in Quincy for the season. Thanks to the Executive Office of Public Safety and a grant from the Shannon Community Safety Initiative, Cops in the Park was extended this year. The last night will be held tonight from 4 to 8 p.m. at Lingo's Park in Germantown, and all are welcome. A check of business news this morning. Stocks retreated. The Dow was down 334 points. The NASDAQ lost 213, and the S&P fell 35. Shares were mixed in Asia following the retreat on Wall Street. The euro slipped, the dollar rose, and oil at $60 a barrel. In sports, Celtics lose their season opener to the Sixers last night, 117 to 116. They're in New York to play the Knicks tomorrow night at 7:30. The Bruins are home tonight at 7 against Anaheim. The National Weather Service forecast for today, mostly sunny and a high of 61 degrees. For tonight, clear, chilly, a low of 39. Tomorrow, sunny, high 59. Saturday, sunny, high 57. Partly sunny, 54 on Sunday. For the boater, waves about 2 feet. Southwesterly winds, 10 to 15, gusting to 25. At a high tide, 1:07 p.m. Sunrise, 7:06, sets at 5:49. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, October 23rd.